The U.S. House is scheduled to take up two immigration reform bills this week, and both of them have DACA recipients, the so-called Dreamers, at the center. The Dreamers have the option of pursuing higher education or serving in the military. A recent study indicates the chance to achieve greater educational opportunities is leading to more DACA recipients, especially young women, attending college. Numbers also indicate significantly lower rates of pregnancy among those who are high school aged, and some of that could be attributed to DACA. With me to talk about the study is one of the researchers, Nama Shenhav. She's an assistant professor of economics at Dartmouth and is with me via Skype. Professor, when you approached this research, did you have expectations that DACA would turn out to be a positive element for recipients, that it would give them more reason for hope?
Yeah, that's a really good question. So I think we did have a prior about this, a pretty strong prior, which is that we expect, according to sort of a simple economics model, that individuals are going to go to schooling because they expect to get some benefits from doing that. And what we know about undocumented status is that individuals that receive lower wages and therefore at every level of schooling and therefore have less benefits from staying in school. And so what DACA does is it gives a work authorization and deferral from deportation if students attain a high school education. Both of those are likely to significantly increase the perceived benefits of schooling for youth. And so, a simple prediction is that when you increase the benefits of doing something, that people will do it more. And so we didn't find it that surprising that sort of students conform to this prediction.
The DACA increased high school completion of 19-year-olds by 11 points. And even the fact that, as it says in the finding here, despite the fact that post-secondary schooling wasn't required for DACA, also increases in college attendance, particularly among young Latino women. Obviously, DACA has not been around all that long, and these seem like great percentage leaps for a very short amount of time.
So let me give you a little bit of background, which is first that prior to DACA, unauthorized students had the lowest high school graduation rates of essentially any other group, so hovering right around 70%. Whereas their other Hispanic immigrant peers that are documented had significantly higher, closer to 85% high school graduation rate. So these students were lagging quite a bit behind. They had quite a bit of distance to make up. So it's important to have that perspective in mind when you're thinking about the magnitude of the results, just that they were so far behind their peers. What DACA did was it essentially moved undocumented students up to where we would have expected them to be if they looked just like their Hispanic peers that have citizenship. And so in that sense, the magnitudes aren't that surprising. I do agree that ex ante, it wasn't obvious that students would go on to college, in particular because the program doesn't require that. But again, we know that part of why people go to college is because they expect that they are going to be able to stay in the States, get a better job, get higher wages. And one of the things that DACA does is it ensures that you'll be in the States long enough to reap those returns, right? Because prior to DACA, there was a non-trivial chance that you might be deported before completing your education or before even having an opportunity to enter the labor market.
As we're in this position of sort of limbo for the DACA recipients, how much of a burden does that place on the DACA recipients as they're trying to decide whether or not to continue with their education? Because do they have to speed up the process, or do some potentially give up in despair to some extent because they think, well, this right may be taken away from us just around the corner?
I mean, I think that those are excellent questions. So part of this is about how quickly do people's expectations adjust, right? So if students expect that this program is essentially gone tomorrow and that there's a very low probability that new applications will ever be expected, then we might expect that these effects are going to disappear quite quickly. On the other hand, we know that renewals are continually being accepted. And so for students that are already in college, it's not clear that they would immediately leave given the fact that they're still able to sort of access a good job opportunities and have deferral from deportation. So I'm not going to speculate on this, but I think that in the long run, if the uncertainty persists, it's hard to imagine a scenario where we'll continue to have the school going rates that we saw in this short period after DACA continuing.
based on nothing more than statistical probability, if DACA were to stay in place or increase in some form or fashion, would you expect the momentum, the statistical relevance you've seen from your study, would you expect it to go in a similar direction, at least for a certain amount of time?
We can actually trace out the impacts of DACA every year after after it took place in 2012. And so what we see is essentially there was a level increase in high school graduation immediately after 2012. And that level increase doesn't appear to be increasing significantly after that. So what that tells us is that it doesn't look like the effects are likely to get larger than what we saw after 2012. This 11 percentage points kind of just seems like that's the that is the difference in high school graduation that is attributable to lack of legal status. I would suggest that if DACA was to continue, we would expect that to remain stable. Again, as expectations adjust, if the program does not persist, we might expect those to slowly attenuate.
Nama Shenhav is an assistant professor of economics at Dartmouth, and we've been talking about her study on DACA recipients.